Okay, morning everybody. This morning we are on the Cotton Daf Yer Aleph. Shira is sponsored this week by David Belzer and OMO Construction. Thanks for the sponsorship. And breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zaev, okay, so in any case, we had just seen before the very remarkable policy that the Gemara presented, that ordinarily you're not allowed to engage in commerce and do business and these kinds of things, except for Davar Ha'aved. But Davar Ha'aved was just expanded in the last to include also a remarkable expansion, that even if it's not about losing assets that you already have, but losing an opportunity would even count as a davar ha'aved in order to justify going after people, getting paybacks from people that are around now, won't be around later, these kinds of things. And so that concept of the opportunity that might be lost, counting as davar ha'aved, on the bottom line, it says, Tanya Nami Hachi Gavi Avodah Zarah. We have a similar view regarding a similar circumstance with respect to the rules of engaging with people who are of the Avodah Zarah. Ki Hai Gavnin, such an attitude. Like it says as follows, Holkin li yirid shelakum velokim behema avarim mushpachos batim saras kramim v'kosiv ima'ala v'yarkos shelahen. It says you're allowed to go and visit the Yerid of the Yakum, the big fair that they have, I don't know, every so often when they get all the vendors for a particular type to get together, and it's a big deal. And the Chazal are opposed to engaging in any kind of business dealings with them when it's so soon before one of their Avodah Zarah holidays, a pagan holiday. The thinking being that it's going to indirectly lead to glorifying, they're saying Shevach or whatever to that deity, and that you don't want to do that kind of a thing even indirectly, and so they forbade you from engaging in commerce, except if there's a Yerid going on, it says, well, that's an opportunity that it says you're allowed to participate, you're allowed to even buy, behema, avodim, shvachos, animals, slaves, whatever, homes, land, real estate, and you're allowed to do the paperwork, you're allowed to file the paperwork, because it's viewed as whatever profit you're able to get from them, it's like you're just recapturing things that they took from you. So in a certain sense, we treat it as if it's you're just getting back your own thing. We would have that attitude kind of theoretically for a lot of stuff that we engage in with them, but this is considered, because it's an opportunity that you wouldn't necessarily be able to have later because the Yerid will be over after their holiday. So that's why they relaxed the rules. They made an exceptional case here that you'd be allowed to participate. I can't say that I understand exactly the halachic argument that allows for the indirect whatever benefit, whatever thing we were trying to avoid, just in the interests of Matzal Miyadim. But anyway, that's what it says over here. We understand for Chol HaMoed, that's one of the parameters of Chol HaMoed, is Davar Ha'aved. And over here, okay, I don't know. In any case, the only reason we brought this up was just in order to show the similarity of the way of thinking, that if it's an opportunity that you have right now to go and engage in this business opportunity, then you're allowed to take advantage of it on treating it like it's all you're doing is you're retaining what you already possess, even though that's not really the way it is, but we view it in that way.
You may just ask the question. When it says purchase,
yeah,
but can you allow to sell something there?
That's a good point. I don't know whether they limited the The amount of engagement we can have of these, this there, I don't know. All right. Anyway, Rav, Shara Lachia Barashi Lemigdalo Harebachola de Moada. I'm not sure exactly what the connection here is, but we're being told that Rav permitted Chia Barashi to make Ohare, the Chola de Moada. Ohare. This Rashi here on this page says Ohare are our nets to catch fish. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what the chiddush exactly is. Gemara says, "Well, my time, a mishum ma'isa hedyot who, because that's considered a ma'isa hedyot. Ma'isa hedyot is allowed, if you remember, no longer considering davar ha'aved, but back to the other permit, other heter of chalamoed, which is sorach ha'moed. Sorach ha'moed is subject to the rule that only ma'isa hedyot is allowed, and when you're making food, that's always permissible in chalamoed because of sorach ha'moed. So it has to be something that's ma'isa hedyot. That's why he permitted him to make nets that anybody could do. Letzarech fishing. Aval Isli Asur. But you wouldn't be allowed to make an Izal. Isli, Rashi says, that's a poultry net or some other kind of net. My time and my sumenhu. Okay, whatever. I don't even know. I mean, it just means the regular rules. It's not a chiddush. It's just saying regular rules that you can't do my sumens for tzarach ha-moed. Normally, you're allowed to be mishana if you have to, if that's what you need tzarach ha-moed. But you can't just do the my sumen straight. I guess it wasn't considered possible to be mishana here to make these traps. Anyway, Rav Yehuda shara le ami tanura le migdal tanure. Rav Yehuda permitted this guy Ami the Tanur guy, Ami Tanura, le migdal tanure to make tanurim for people. O le Rava Bar Isvi le migdal mahulta, and he permitted Rava Bar Isvi to make mahulta, which is those are sieves for people. Presumably, again, those things, I don't know. The fact that this guy was presumably a specialist means that it was a Maisa Uman, so really he shouldn't have permitted him to make the... So it must be considered a Maisa Hedyot, even though he was kind of a specialist. Which clouds the whole definition of Uman and Hedyot, and it's a very difficult concept to define well. Is what kinds of things are called Uman things, and which kinds of things are called Hedyot things. We'll have to see that also as it keeps going here on the daf. But in any case, that's what we're being told, is that you can make these, even these contraptions that are going to be used for food. I, the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Taini, but hold on a minute, that goes against something that we knew of from elsewhere, V'hatani Rabba Bar Shmuel, but Rabba Bar Shmuel taught us a braisa that says V'shavin, it says Shavin, that they, Tanayim, agree, meaning in our Mishnah, where it talks about the you can make a Tana v'kirem v'reichayim b'moed b'Rabbi Yehuda, says not a reichayim, but Rabba Bar Shmuel clarifies here, yeah, but everybody agrees that you can't make a Tana from scratch. So that goes against what we just were told, that Rav Yehuda permitted Yami Tanura to do that. Mara says, no, that's different. Lokasha can be a mosa chama, can be mosa gishamim. No, it depends. Are we talking about a situation where it's the rainy season or the dry season? It's a little bit funny because over here, we're only talking about 10 days in the year. And we know which days. We are Chol HaMoed only. So one of them is at the very beginning of the rain season, and one of them is at the very beginning of the dry season. Okay, but the point is, and that's what the way they're understanding this, is that if it's Chol HaMoed Pesach that we're talking about, where it's warm in the dry season, then the tanur would dry and be usable even on Chol HaMoed itself or Yontif itself, so that they'd be allowed to. So making the tanur is a tzarach ha-moed. But making a tanur in the Sukkot time, where it's going to start raining soon, it's not going to be able to be usable for a while. That's why you're not allowed. Alright, there's no chiddush here. It's just saying the regular principles as it just played out in a couple of examples. Alright, Mishnah. Osin ma'ate l'gagol mirpasa. you're allowed to make the fence around the Gog or the porch, Masa Hedyot, Avalo Masa Uman. Okay, so that's consistent. This mission is consistent with earlier rules about the Tzarech HaMoed. We're considering the Makah to be a Tzarech HaMoed, because if anybody's using this space, or in order to be allowed to use the space, they have to have the Makah there. Avalo Masa Uman. You can't use a Maisa Uman construction, like Oemo construction, for example. Shafin has to hasidakin, and you're allowed to repair cracks or breaks, Rashi says in a Tanur. Magila nosan b'magila b'yadu b'regel, and you're allowed to even smooth down after you plaster the cracks to seal the cracks. You can even smooth it down. B'yad u'b'regel ha'lo b'machal tzayim. You're allowed to do using a hand thing, like smooth it down with your hand, maybe, but not with a special tool. Then it says here in the Mishnah, Hatsir v'hatsinur v'hakora v'hamanol v'hamafteyach shenishberu. Let's say your door breaks, or the hinge breaks, or the lock breaks, or the tzinur breaks. For us, that would be something like the gutter breaks. So, or the bolt breaks. So these are all things that are matters of your household, either security or other kind of vulnerability. Misaknan b'moed. You're allowed to repair them on chol ha'moed. Ubelvad shelo yitzkavein la'asos melachta b'moed. Provided that you really could have taken care of it 2 weeks ago, but now is when you had the opportunity to be off, or it's more convenient to take care of this repair, so that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to hold off on repairs until chol ha'moed, take advantage of the fact that you're around to do them. But the point of this is, what's the heter here to do these malachos? These are all going to involve malacha. What kind of heter is there? It's because we're treating security matters as davar ha'aved. Or even the tzino, even the gutter repair is considered davar ha'aved, because it rains and it damages your house, or leaks in and you have to fix other kinds of things that happen in the house. So then that's all considered davar ha'aved. So for davar ha'aved, you're not allowed to be mechavin melachto b'moed. That's what this mission is saying. You're not allowed to take advantage of the moed to schedule the repair for chol ha'moed. The chalach vashim shehu yachal le'achol mehem b'moed kofshan. And anytime, if you have food and you want to preserve the food, and it's going to involve a treatment of the food in order to preserve it, so then you're not allowed to preserve those foods unless you're able to eat the food during the moed itself. Okay, in other words, it depends how long it takes to preserve the food, so you can't really preserve the food until after the moed. Wait until after the moed and then you do it. Gemara says, Eichidami Maisa Hedyot, if you're putting up a makeh, then what does it look like to do a regular homeowner construction makeh? I mean, how much confidence would you have in that job? So Rabbi Yosef says, you're not necessarily going to be doing it with the proper materials. You're going to have to use chutzah v'dafna. Chutzah v'dafna is just like bushes and things. Okay, I guess so. Anyway, it says that apparently is effective for purposes of a makeh, even though it's not going to last long term or anything. And the Masnisa Tanatzar Vitzroar Veinotach Petit. And the Braisa, however, says, no, you can have something more substantial. You put your bricks up there, or the rocks or whatever it is, but Veinotach Petit, you just can't finish it off. It's the finishing work that's going to be, it's going to require the specialist, I guess, according to the Braisa. Alright, then what does it say here? Shafinis hasadakim magila nosim magila. You're allowed to repair the cracks, and you're allowed to even smear the sealant on. Gemara says, Hashtim magila amrit shari. The yada berega mi boy. It says, well, look at the mission. The mission looks like it says you're allowed to put the sealant on, you even using a roller. Magila nosa. The magila. That's a roller. So why does it have to say you can use a roller or even your hands? Obviously, if you could use a roller even, of course you could use a more primitive method like your hand. So the Gemara says, "Haki ko amar shafin es tzedakin u'magila nosan k'ein magila." Actually, Gemara is saying over here, you can't use the roller. You can only use your hand. You can smooth it out as if with a roller, as long as you're using biyad uber regal velo b'machal tzayim, but not using a roller. Okay, I can't tell you that I know what a machal tzayim is, but it's some kind of a roller. Okay, and then it says here about the security measures. Hatzir tzinor kor amanal mifteach shenishbrim b'sachem b'moed. The Gemara asks, wait a minute. V'ramini, that seems to go against the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni. It says ad yamav haya patish makav Yerushalayim, etc. It says, wait a minute, but there's a Mishnah that describes that until Yochanan Kohen Gadol's times, on Chol HaMoed, you used to hear the shops open. You used to hear people working. You would hear the sound of the hammer on the anvil, which makes it seem. And then he stopped that practice. So it means that he closed down all of these things. So how can it say in our Mishnah that you can do these repairs? The Gemara says, Ad Yom Avin Mikan Ve'il Chlo. It was only going on until this time. The Gemara answers, well, and it gives multiple answers over here. So let's see. First answer, lo kashe kan b'dinafche and kan b'dinagare. To me, it means that the answer is, that was a blacksmith, this is a locksmith. So it's a different activity, and the point being that the blacksmith is much more blatant, I guess. The locksmith is much more demure, much more quiet and private. I guess that matters here. Because what the blacksmith is doing, it's not very obvious that what he's doing is going to be for the purpose of the Tzarcha Moed. So I guess it's like a marzain. The Gemara says, Maskif l'arav chista. Wait a minute. So then if that's really the chiluk, so what are you doing? Close down any of the shops that make noise. Yomru kala rabba asir kala zutar shari. So then people are going to misunderstand what's going on. They'll just think that everything that's quiet is allowed. That's not the guideline. So apparently he didn't like this answer. Ella amar Rav Chista lo kashya. Rav Chista poses a different reconciliation here. Habe magli, habe chatzine. Well, no, maybe it depends on how you're going to do the repair. You're going to do the repair with a magla or with chatzine. Magla apparently is some kind of very quiet tool. Chatzine is some noisy tune. So the point is that any noisy repair is going to be forbidden, and Magla doesn't have any noise associated with it. Alright. Anyway, we don't happen to hold like either of these. Rav Papa Amar Kan Korim Gzera Kan Liachar Gzera. Rav Papa said, well, anyway, there's no problem over here, because we know that there were two periods of history. We have before Yochanan Kohen Gadol put a stop to it, and after. But what's fascinating is that Rav Papa learned this was a Gzera that Yochanan put in place. He didn't permit it, even though it should have been permissible, even if there's justification for it. But Yochanan Kohen Gadol, according to Rav Papa here, what Yochanan Gadol was doing was not enforcing the law, but he was legislating a new law that you're not even allowed to do repairs that are too public. That's we don't have like that either. Rav Ashi Amar, HaRavi Yehuda, HaRavi Yossi, D'Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Man Tana Shinui, B'moed B'davar HaAved. So the Rav Ashi says the answer, we accept this answer, that it's a machlokas atanoim, actually. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow doing maisa umans for davar ha'aveid purposes. And remember, we said, sorach ha'moed, everybody agrees you can't do maisa umans, but this is davar ha'aveid. Davar ha'aveid shouldn't have had our restriction. That's what we're going to see on the next. Page. The machlokas hatanaim. What happens when you're forced to do a melacha in chol hamoed because of a davar ha'aveid? Does that also? Could that be done with a ma'isa uman, or does that have a ma'isa hedyot restriction? So it says over here. That's machlokas hatanaim. Rabbi Huda against Rabbi Yossi. So that explains everything. So the Mishnah that permits it, our Mishnah, is solving Rabbi Yossi. And when Yochanan Kohen Gadol was not allowing it, presumably he was going by a policy that is expressed here by Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that's a machlokas that I'm there for. Which way do we hold in that machlokas? It says, Amar Ravina, Kaman Medalina Ha'idna Kabiyusa Didasha Bechola Demoveda. Ravina says, who are we holding like the fact that we permit people to do something, something, something? A bit unclear exactly what he was describing over here, but what it means is some kind of a repair to the house. So we're permitting it. So who are we relying on? We're relying on Kaman Karevi Yossi. We're following Yossi Shita, who holds Lahakil on this rule and allows you to do Dabra Aveids on Chol Hamoed even without a Shinoi. We're going to see that's right on our daf, on our face. Okay, that's the Pesach. That's how we understood what's going on. That's why it says Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to make household repairs of the type, certainly, that are security or other vulnerabilities that you want to address, because it's considered to be a Dabra Aveid. Very likely, it's situational, so somebody has to just judge whether you have circumstances that would warrant it. All right, two dots. Kvashim Shu Yachal Le'achal B'moy Kovshan. You're allowed to preserve the food that you could eat sometime during the regal, during the Yantav. The story. It's a little bit hard that the Aramaic over here is unintelligible, and all of you showing him have different yourselves about what it is, but this is the upshot. Badisa, which is the river on which Pumbedisa is situated. Pumbedisa is a well-known town among the Amorites. Pumbedisa is located on the Bedisa River. So Bedisa Labi Kavare. The Bedisa River, at one time, something happened. So it overflowed. The fish all kind of flowed over, and then it suddenly dried out, and the fish were all stranded. Point being, we had this phenomenon here on the brook every so often when there's a gigantic hurricane or something. The brook overflows the banks, and then when it dries out, and you see dead fish, right? Along the sides of the brook over here. So that phenomenon, that's what it described over here. In a much larger scale, there were dead fish everywhere, and Azal Kuliyama and soon, and everybody came and picked up the fish. So Aisu Kavara, they were collecting the fish. Sharalhu Rava Lemimlach Minayu. Rava permitted the people to preserve the fish, to salt them. So does this bother us? Are we concerned about it? Is this a problem? Well, I don't know. I guess the quantity was excessive. It was an enormous quantity. So that's what Rashi here on the page points out. This was a large quantity. Igmar says, hold on, that goes against what it seems to be from our Mishnah, which only allows you to salt the food, to preserve the food that you're going to be able to eat over the regal. Rashi says, so this was too much. So he, Rava, said back to him, Abaye, said, well, you forgot something. Since the people are picking up the food there as food, and if you don't let them preserve it, then it's going to get ruined. So, keprakmatia ha'avadami. The Shari. It's the same heter that we saw before. It's what we would call an opportunity that you might lose. I mean, free fish. Okay, it's free fish. There's a line over there. Just pick up whatever you want. But then, once you're picking it up, you have to then
preserve it.
Otherwise, you're actually going to lose the stuff. So that's allowed. So that's the first justification for this. The second, Viyika the Amri, others say that's not what he told them. That Rava actually told them it had nothing to do with the fact that it was free fish. He just told them, he took the opportunity to tell them, surely Rava even meitzad umeitzel, or on the side it says meitzel umeitzad, to go buy fish. And I saw you, mamlach. You're allowed to go get fish, you're allowed to go to the store, buy a large quantity of fish, even more than you would necessarily need, salt them and preserve them. I'm the advice. What are you talking about? It's against the Mishnah. So Rabbi told him that, well, Hani Nami Misachli Agavitza. Well, even if you have a lot of fish, any one of these fish might be the Tzorach HaMoed, because it's not like all fish are the same as all other fish. You might have preferences, and therefore you might need to buy a lot of fish just in order to have a high enough quality sample that you would actually want to eat from. So that's enough of a justification to buy more than you would have needed per se. Even though salting of these large quantity of fish would generally take a week or whatever. I don't know this business, but it would also take too long. So you have to also explain why the salting is justifiable. He doesn't say based on Dovra, but he says, well, because they really could, I guess, Agav Itzitza means that you could do an extraordinary amount of processing in order to make the fish edible right now. So, presumably, he's saying, so that's what justifies the buying extra and the salting the extra, even though it's not tzarecha moed. All right, ki hadi Shmuel avdu leishisin itzitzi theyachil. Like Shmuel, he had some fish and he would process the fish using 60 itzitzis, 60 rinses, washes, whatever's, and theyachil, and that was sufficient. He can eat that stuff quickly. Okay, in any case, I can't tell you that what exactly is the principle here, but I know that the Shulchan Aruch does accept the second opinion, which even permits you to go and buy. So it's not based on Dabra Aved. Even though we presented this as a possibility of being an example of a Dabra Aved, that was only the first Lashon. Second Lashon takes it away from being Dabra Aved and just says, no, it's based on Ochel Nefesh considerations. All right, so the... now we tell I got it to here. Rava Iklo Lebe Rish Galusa Avdi Leishisen Itzitzi V'Yachal. Rav also once visited the Rish Galusa's home where they do everything extravagantly and they served these fish that was processed this way, V'Yachal. Okay. I don't understand exactly what the point of that anecdote was. Rav Iklo Lebe Rish Shafir. Rav visited Rav Shpir's house, Aisula Kamayu, Hahuk Havra, Tilsa, Bishula, Vitilsa, Milcha, Vitilsa, Tavia. Okay, Rav visited a place and he ate some fish. And how'd they make the fish? They made the fish partially cooked, partially salted, partially roasted or fried. I really don't know what to get out of that either. Amar Rav. Rav reports the following. Amar li Ara Tzayada. This guy, Ada the Tzayid, told me, must have been a chef, told me the following, some culinary tips here. Kavra samach lemisrafei ma'ali. If you have fish, don't eat them right away. Wait until they're just on the point of being spoiled rotten, and they're the best that way. The Yamar Rav, another tip for you, almost in the same quality. Okay, Amar li Ada Tzayada. Here's another tip from Ada Tzayada. I don't know. Okay, maybe he really thought so. Maybe he thought he was talking to his competition. I don't exactly know what he was doing. Okay, but anyway, you got quoted over here in the Gemara for some reason also. Anyway, Ada Tzayada had the following additional tip. Kavra tevuya v'yahua, and asuke v'yavua, and mechle v'birei, and there you go. So what is it referring to? It says, well, you know, the proper way to deal with fish is tavuya ba'achua, is you should roast it with its brother. So the mefarshim over here all say the same shot. Well, what is the brother of a fish? Well, back at Bria Sa'olam time, if you remember, it says that the fish were generated from the sea. So what? Well, here's another thing that you wouldn't necessarily have realized from the Pesukim. Also, the sea salt must have been generated from the sea as well. So, the brother of the fish is the salt. So this just means that you should roast the fish with salt. Asuke v'yavua. And you should cook it in its father. What would be the father of the fish in that scheme? butter. And mechle bibrei, and eat it with its descendant, which is like an extract from the fish, fish brine or something, it says. And then, ishasi aleyavua, and drink it with water. Okay, anyway, I don't know what to do with all these kinds of advice. The Amarav, Amar li Adatsayada, Rav says also, I heard another tip from Adatsayada, Kavra, Tachli, and Chelba. Fish and tachli, I don't know, some kind of salad thing, product, chelba, and milk. Liton gufa, below liton puria. When you eat those things, you should take a walk afterwards. Below liton puria, don't go to bed right away. It's unhealthy to eat that right before you go to sleep. But you should have a walk around for a while. Okay. Rashi says something we'll hear like until it's digested. But I don't know how you'll get to know. Anyway, Amar Rav, Amar li Adat Sayada, Kavra, Tachli, Vechelba, Maya Velo Shichra. If you're going to eat those three foods, you should eat them with water, not beer. Or if you don't have water, Shichra Velo Chamra. But not with wine. Okay. Follow that advice at your own risk. That's what the Rishonim said. The Gaonim and Rishonim all say that. Just because the Gemara quotes something doesn't mean you should follow any of the medical opinions or, I guess in this case, culinary prescriptions that the Gemara has. Okay, Mishnah. Misha hafach ezesav iro evel o oneso sheitu poalim. Alright, this is going to be meaningful information for all of us who have an olive press. If you don't, then this is not really going to have any relevance. So let's see. If Misha Afach Ezeisav, if you, let's say, had taken your olives and you already done the hafifa. And as you know, once you start the hafifa, then you better get going with the rest of the pressing. The Iro Avel, Ones, of Shitu Poalim. And what happened was, an unforeseen delay happens. So a person became an avel, a person lost a family member, so that shuts down your work. That's one of the rules of Etavelis, is that you even Yisr Malacha. Ones, or some other kind of a problem happened, unforeseen problem that happened, and you weren't able to attend to these olives. Oshetu Polim, or you had some workers who were supposed to be doing the job, and they misled you, and they quit, and they whatever, so they misled you. And so despite everything that you did deliberately and in good faith to finish your job before the moed, before the regel started, now you're facing a good week plus of idleness, and the problem is that these olives, you had already started the process of pressing them, and so you're in trouble. So what do you do? So it says here you have permission. Now what should you do? What would we say that you should do? So we're facing a regular davar aved. So we would say, okay, so go ahead. So do what you need to in order to prevent the hefsek. That's what they're all going to say. So let's see. It says, the Tanakhama over here, Rabbi Yehuda, says, Toin kora rishona umanicha liachar hamoed. You're allowed to take the main heavy log, the beam, the whatever the thing is that's going to do some of the pressing, and put it on the olives and you leave it like that, lachar moed, and that's going to avert the main hefsek. The Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't have to modify my process. Zolef vigomer vigaf kidarko. I'm allowed to do the full pressing, finish up the whole job, and even put the oil in the barrels. In other words, I can do everything that I would ordinarily do in the course of the processing of the olives, because of the davar aved. So this was the Rabbi Yossi that we made reference to earlier in Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yossi holds that whenever you have a heter of davar aved, you're allowed to do the entire job without requiring any shinui, like Rabbi Yehuda did require here in our Mishnah. And then we said in the Amud Aleph, we passed in Rabbi Yossi lahakel, that's what it says here. Okay, Mishnah, Agmara. Pasach be'avel, or be'avel, v'siyim be'moed. The Mishnah, something wrong with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is presenting scenarios where you started the process, but then something interrupted the process and prevented you from continuing with the process and getting it done before the regular start? What were the things? So the first thing that happened was Avel, right? An Avelus happens. The person lost the family member, and then the Yisra Malacha stopped him from doing it. So wait a second. So there's an Yisra Malacha during Avelus. There's an Yisra Malacha during Chol HaMoed. Why did we not pick up on the question of the parameters of the Yisra Malacha of Chol HaMoed once it was presented to us here as a case and discuss, well, would you be allowed to do this same thing during Avelus? Let's say what happened was that this happened, I don't know, several days before. Let's say forget about the Moed. Let's say it's not a matter of Moed. It's just Avelus. And then the Avelus happens. What's your recourse during the week of Shiva? It's a similar interval to the Moed. So that's what the Gemara here is wondering. Pasach be'evel, the same be'moed. It just drops the Avelus altogether. And now it only deals with, well, what could you do during the Moed if these things happen? Amar Rav Shisha bar v'reidurav idi. Rav Shisha tells us, Zos omeres, well, this implies that you have no permission. Devarim ha'mutar be'moed asur b'me'evlo. Things that you do have a heter to do during Chol HaMoed, in other words, even though there's Yisra Malach in both cases, but there are coolest in Chol HaMoed that don't apply in Avelus, and therefore you would have had no permission to deal with the olives during Avelus time. That's what his answer is. And Rav Ashi Amar, no, that's the opposite. Rav Ashi Amar, Lomi Boiko Amar. No, he was telling us both. By telling us the heter Chol HaMoed, it implied both answers. Let's see. Lomi boy comer. It's telling us what goes without saying. Lomi boy be may evlo demidra banner hu bishari. It goes without saying that he can deal with this crisis during his avelus, which the whole Yisra Malach is only the rabbana bishari. So obviously you'd be allowed to. Ela afilu b'moed. But we're saying no, even a chol HaMoed, the Yisra Malach de oraisa. Whoa, that's a strong statement that is said here. It just told us in this line of the Gemara a matter which is a raging machlokas among Rishonim, that Yisra Malacha and Chol HaMoed, according to this line here, is the Oraisa. All of the Rishonim hold that there's an element of Chol HaMoed that's the Oraisa, but this Gemara here is asserting pretty explicitly that doing Malacha and Chol HaMoed without permission is Yisra the Oraisa. But nevertheless, we welcome say the Shara Rabbana, which is also kind of funny. Had the Rabbanan have the authority to do this? They told you, yeah, but if a lot of money is at stake, if it's a hefsed, then you're allowed to. It's a very funny attitude. I wouldn't want to broaden the scope of this permission to other matters of halacha, but it's saying over here, this relates back to the first Rashi in the Masechta about how the Chachamim, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, because the Torah is very vague about it, the Torah authorized the Chachamim to prescribe the parameters of Chol HaMoed, and they built in a Stavra Aved. So not a lot of areas of Halacha where they have that authority, but this is one. So in any case, we're being told over here the following. According to Rav Ashi, what the Mishnah is telling us is that despite Chol HaMoed being an Yisra Malacha de Oraisa, L'davar HaAved, you have a Heter to do the Malacha. And question of Machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi about to what extent. Does it have to be, you know, only a little or fully? And that's this view of Rav Ashi's. That is the view of Rav Ashi's. However, Tanya Kavasi the Rav Shesha, Vered the Rav Idi. However, the Amoraim are saying, but we have a Bryce in support of the first answer, Rav Shesha's answer, which is as follows. Namely what? Namely that that's not the case, that you don't have a heter during Avelus. In other words, he's telling you a chumrah during Hilchas Avelus. Happens to be, this is our first exposure to Hilchas Avelus. The whole Masechta Moed Katan, the third parak, is all about Avelus. All of Avelus rules come from this Masechta. So this happens to be a little foreshadowing here about what's coming up. So it says here that this Baraisa supports the chumrah sheet of the Rav Shesha Vered the Rav Idi's answer. Namely, that you don't have the heter during Avelus to do malachas, but even if it's under the pressure of a davar ha'aved. Namely, what was a braisa? Ela devarim ha'osim le'avel bimei evlo. These are things that one is allowed to do on behalf of an avil during his avilus. Zeisav hafuchim, let's say he had started the process, like that's what our mission is referring to, hafach is zeisav. If zeisav hafuchim, then you'd be allowed to go, now who's the you? You would mean other people who's not the avil. The avil would not have this permission, which is the implication here why this is saying lechumra, that the avil can't personally address it. It's that you have to get somebody else to do it for you. Toan in lo, you'll be allowed to continue pressing the olives. Kado leguf, if same kind of a thing for wine. Pishtanu lehalos min amishra, or if you started the dyeing process or the cleaning process or whatever that is, your pishtan is also vulnerable now. It needs to be continued. The process to be continued. Otherwise, you're facing the loss of the pishtan. Simro lehalos min ayora. You just finished cooking your pishtan, whatever you'd be doing. Same kind of a thing. Marbitzim sadehu. Even also when it comes to the fields now, you can continue watering the field for him. You should tagia onas amayim shelo when it needs it. Rabbi Huda omer af zorim lo sde near. Rabbi Huda even says you didn't be allowed to seed the plowed field. In other words, if he had already gotten the concrete to plow the field, and now he's in avelus, and now it's the time, it's the sowing season, so then somebody better get on that, otherwise he's going to lose his chance. They said, I don't think you necessarily have to go that far, because that's not such a calamity. Okay, you don't have to have this, the time pressure is not really as urgent. It's not what he would have preferred, but maybe it wouldn't be so urgent. Anyway, that's the machlokas. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has the following important leniency. He says, Zeisav hafuchim, and you can't find somebody else, let's say. Ve'ein shamu min elo. What if he's the only one? Or kado l'guv ve'ein shamu min elohu. Or what if, again, he's the only person who can do this job? So then, okay, we understand you're not allowed to do them malacha yourself, even though it's a davar aved. But you are allowed to get somebody else to do it. Well, maybe that's the only reason why you're not allowed to do it, is because you can get somebody else to do the job for you. But what if nobody else is available? So then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, well, if you're really, really up against the wall and you have nobody to do it for you, we will permit you to do it as much as possible, bitzina, as long as it's not too overt that you're doing something that's really offensive to your avelus. Yesra alkein amar Shimon Gamliel, and to that extent, the Shulchan Aruch does accept. Yesra alkein amar Shimon Gamliel. Now, Shimon Gamliel then brought in this heter as follows. Very interesting leniency here. Imhaya uman l'rabim. Let's say he's the one guy in town who can handle certain kinds of things. He's the uman l'rabim. He's the guy that the whole town relies on to do all of their whatever the task is. Like maybe he's the doctor or the sapor or the balon l'rabim, or he's the sapor, he's the barber, or he's the balon, he's the guy who runs the bathhouses. L'rabim, and everybody needs it for Yantif. Yantif is coming. V'higeis ha-regel, v'ein sh'um en elahu. Harezi yase. What does that have to do with the regel? Hang on a second. Well, yeah, so what is the question? You want to do it during Chol HaMoed? During Chol HaMoed, nobody needs these things because there is nobody who has permission to do these things.
During his
avelus? No, I think it's during
his avelus. So this is an avelus thing. Higia Esa Regal, and everybody suddenly is pounding on his door. That's what's going on. It's the Regal time, and he's in avelus, and they're pounding on his door, and we need you. And even though you're in avelus, and we feel very sorry for your loss, but nevertheless, you have a job to do here, and everybody needs you. So it says here, fine. I raise a yasa. So that rule, the Shulchan Aruch does not accept. This kula doesn't say. Rishonim are divided on this, which is a little bit funny, because normally when it comes to Elchas Avelus, we have a policy of halacha k'divri ha-meikel ba'avel, and over here it's a machlokas whether or not you follow this kula of Rishonim Gamliel about the tzibur tzrichim lo. It doesn't accept it. All right. Similar type of thing. Let's say you stopping your malacha affects other people as well. What then becomes your responsibility? Do you say, well, it's all of your tough luck because I'm an avelus, or do you say, okay, well, I mean, just because I have to deal with my avelus doesn't mean that you guys all have to come down with me. So it says, let's say if you're an aris, that means you have a relationship with the owner of the land, that you share some of the profits. So if you don't do the job, not only is it going to affect your revenue, it's going to affect the owner's revenue. So that's not fair. And the hakir and a kablam, same kind of a thing. All situations where it's going to affect you, not just yourself, but it's going to affect the other as well. Even though you have an Isra Malacha during Moed, and normally if it just affects you, you really would have to shut down your whole business. But if it's affecting other people, then you can have other people doing the work. But not you. Achamorim, v'hagamlonim, v'hagamolim, v'hasafanim. People who are... Chamorim are people who... I guess they rent out their chamor, or their gamal, their sfina. And other people are depending upon the service. Hareilu lo yasi, you're going to have to close up shop for the week. But what does that mean? You have to recall the people who have already rented your stuff during your avail, so they're going to be paying you for what they have already rented. Hareilu yasu, no, you don't have to call them back. They can keep going. What about if you're a schir yom? What about if you're hired out, paid by the day? You're not allowed to do malacha, even if you're somewhere else and nobody realizes, I don't know, that you're in a velus. I don't know. You're not allowed to do malacha, you're being paid by the day, so you have to take off those days. What if other people have deposited their work and you're responsible to do jobs that other people need done? That says, well, you can't do those jobs, even if it's a kibolus. Now, kibolus means they're not paying you by the day, they're just paying you by the job. So they don't have a deadline on when the work has to get done. So Gemara says, wait, the logic is wrong in that statement. What does that mean? Even if it's a kibolus, you can't do it. If it's a kibolus, then you're working on your own time. So you're working on your own timetable. So that's more obvious that you could take, that you would have to take off and stop doing the jobs. You get to them afterwards. Gemara says, Afal Pi, what do you mean, even if it's a kibolus? Well, me boy, she ain't a kibolus. What does that mean? That means the way you presented it was that even if it's a kibolus, where you would figure you have to keep doing the job. No, I wouldn't. I would figure you don't have to do the job. You're working on your own timetable. Gemara says, Adarab, a kibolus kiddi day, dummy. No, it's like his own work. Of course he has to stop doing his own work. Elaim, oh, yeah. Okay, so there's something wrong. That quote, as Bryce said, was a little corrupt. It means bein b'kibolus, bein she'ena b'kibolus, lo yaseh. It means whether or not, regardless of if it's kibolus, lo yaseh. In other words, even if you're working on the clock, you still have to take off, and the people are going to be inconvenienced unless you can get somebody else to do the job. Now, what if it's the other way around? He has jobs needed done, and he has them being done by other people who are going to be handling the work. Well, look, if it's b'veiso, if it's happening in your house, you're having people painting the house, you're doing other kinds of work around your house, and it's not davar aved issues, lo yasu. So then you can't, they have to stop. The vayis acher, yasu, but if it's somewhere else, if it's off-site, so, I don't know, it's they're working on your car somewhere in their garage, so then fine, they can keep going. Marion, so these are all important guidelines. Every line here is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as being one of the policies with respect to what kinds of isra of malacha are permissible or not permissible during a velus. Marian Berei de Ravin, Umar Berei de Ravacha, Berei de Rava. So these two guys, Avlu Ahu Gamla de Torah. They happen to have had each one provided one shore, and they would work together and do jobs, and they would do plowing. Badi Adodi. So Isra Be Milsa, Umar Berei de Ravacha, Avacha Berei de Rava. So one of them became an Aval. So Paske Le Gamale. So he pulled his shor out of the partnership for that week. Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi said to him, Gavir Rabbi Kimar, such a great person like you, the Rei de Ravacha, Avid Hachi, You would do such an idiotic thing. Okay, so you don't care about the loss that you're going to suffer during your avelus, and therefore you're going to have to not, you know, do the job. That's understandable. But the other guy can't do the job now either. So you can't be mafsa the other person. If your stuff is being utilized, if other people are using your stuff, then they keep going. So that's what he attacked him with. So Husavar, Gemara says, no, he wasn't doing it out of Amaratsis. Husavar Adam Chashur Shani. He thought that even though that's true, that ordinarily that's permissible, but not if the person is that prominent, he's an Adam Chashur, so then he would need to stop his share of the work, even if it does adversely affect the other person, even in the partnership, and that's what he felt. So I guess Ravashi didn't see it that way, and okay. So either he didn't think he was an Adam Chashur and not worthy of that status, or he felt that wasn't a consideration.